praises. Harley, I know you got one somewhere.
Definitely got to praise the Lord for getting a hold of my brother Joe. He's always said that he's leading God, but you never even know from seeing the Lord. Now he's literally serving in his church. I had a nice long conversation with him over the phone while we were driving back from our place, and we literally went over all of the things of the basic Bible truths to make sure that he's genuine. It was just an awesome conversation.
They also watch us on live stream.
Yeah, because they don't have a church there that teaches the truth. They just get your
Good deal. It's a praise for me. I'm thankful for our live stream. It has turned out to be a genuine resource for the Lord. I'm thankful for the times that I've had to use it. Mary, what's your praise?
Yeah, this morning I woke up and went into my prayer room. You know what I wrote down? This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I was just, and I came this morning, guess what?
Yeah.
This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. I'm like, whoa, cool.
We're singing that today.
Yeah, we're going to sing it.
So wonderful.
And we're singing that church too.
You sing it today. You're going to sing it today.
Yeah, we're singing it today.
I was just like, wow, Lord.
Well, I like it when we're reminded of that, because every day I get that I start out, I forget that I'm supposed to be glad. There are so many things that can take your gladness away. Yeah. You just gotta resist.
It really does something to your soul if you write something now and come in church and look up. I just wrote that this morning. Whoa. Yeah. And it makes me feel so good.
Amen. Josh, what's your praise today?
I want to praise the Lord that they got the port situation figured out. It didn't take too long. I also want to praise the Lord for yesterday. We got in our neighborhood, we got a little spot we can fish on the bayou. The neighbor lets us use his area down there, and that's just right down the road. So me and the kids were able to ride our bikes down there. Didn't catch nothing, but it's a cool little place to go fish. So I want to praise the Lord for that. I also want to praise the Lord. Yesterday, we ended up cooking some barbecued lamb leg. It turned out great. Just the kids liked it, and we got to sit around and eat something unique. And I just had a great time with the family yesterday. So,
amen. All right. Eva, what's your praise, girl?
My praise is I just want to give thanks to the Lord for waking me up this morning.
Amen.
When he shook my bed and woke me up and said, get up, Eva, I knew that it was his day, not mine, that I was going to rejoice in his day.
Yeah.
And so I am just so glad to be and thankful that the Lord woke me up this morning and I was on that list.
Amen. Lisa, what's your praise?
We had some great family time yesterday. It was really nice to have Zach and Jenny from Wayfond Austin, and looking forward to time this afternoon too. We had 5 out of 6 of our kids.
Yeah, it was a great blessing. We know it involves sacrifice to get together like that. You change your schedules and you do whatever you do and you drive for hours, but it's just such a blessing to see it happen, and we are blessed for it. We praise the Lord for it. Who else? Glenn, what's your praise, buddy?
Well, I got more than one this morning. In fact, I know I do. I'm back to trying to getting up, and instead of just laying in bed, when I see the sun starting to peek in the window, I get up now and watch the sunrise like I used to a while back. Watch the sunrise, pray about it, and thank you for another day. And I take a picture of it. Sometimes I post it, and I'll say, you know, the caption or whatever. Thank you, Jesus, for another glorious day. And AJ, excited about bringing his friend that he's known for many, many years since they were young. And also, last night we went to Alvin's house, and I got some T-bones that were on sale at Kroger's, and Alvin fired up his pit, made his fire in his little homemade brick pit, and he knows how to cook a steak. He puts pecan sticks on there, gets the flames going just right, you know. So we had a good meal last night.
Good
the
deal.
Other thing, I've been finishing work at work, and I've gotten blessed.
Amen.
You know what I mean by that.
Amen.
So,
all right. Well, we're
Just thankful that God was with Josh and Justin the other day and helped Katie get packed and get her set. She made it to New Mexico without a problem. She was super worried about the trailer not being loaded right and her having a problem with it wobbling all the way there. And God bless her with you guys to help her get it loaded the right way and got her there safe with the kids without a single problem. And I talked to her after she got back and she was just, she's sad that they are gone, but she said that this is forever their church when they come back. She said it's only temporary, she knows it, so.
Amen.
It's good. We'll look forward to seeing them get back. Jerry, you're next. What's up, buddy?
Let me joke first. I want to praise the Lord for the work that I did get this week. And I got a lot of scripture read. Praise the Lord for his word.
Amen. Amen.
I have one more.
Go ahead, Eva.
I want to praise the Lord for my church family. My friends came last week, and they were late, and they apologized for being late. They didn't say they didn't come just to eat. They were coming to be with me on that day. But I just want to thank my church family and thank God for my church family because they said they were so well received.
Amen. All right. Anybody else? Praises. This is the part Jesus gets, so don't slack off. Go ahead, Sherry.
Praise God for my husband. He's been such a help to me through this surgery and everything.
That's good.
Works his tail off taking care of me and working, and he's still not feeling up to par, so I just praise God for him.
Yep. Sparky, what's your praise?
I praise God that my knee's getting better and I'm getting to walk better, and one of these days, I'm going to walk in here with no cane.
Amen.
Yep. Amen. That's something great to look forward to.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. I agree with that one.
Yeah. Well, anybody else? Go ahead, Spur.
I finished reading my Bible last week.
You did?
Yeah. Tuesday or something.
Good.
I couldn't believe I actually finished reading the whole thing.
Yeah.
I started over again, just like y'all said to do.
Amen. It's a good victory. I finished quite a while back this year, which earliest I think I've ever finished up. And I started with through the New Testament first this time. And I thought, well, you know, that worked pretty good. And then I started back through Genesis. And it wasn't all that long that I was through the Psalms. And pretty soon I was about to hit Malachi and Matthew again, so got it done. So I've just been reading random spots, and it's all been good. Go ahead, AJ.
Another praise, Santa's family.
Okay, amen. That's a good praise, Josh.
I don't know if it's been said yet, but I'm gonna praise the Lord that the guy's got the new eve put up on the roof.
Yeah, our new ridge cap is on.
The ACs are on.
Yeah, and this one won't leak.
Yeah.
You know, that's another price right there is that God has shown us through our construction company and church members the right people to call for just about anything that we need done at the church. We know. Like Gary, the guy that did the roof, he used to be the youth guy. Lord.
Yeah.
He went to Africa with us. And he and his wife. Anyway.
All right. James, chapter 2. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. James chapter 2, verse 1. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say unto the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you shall do well. But if you have respect of persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the law, the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. We're going to stop there and use that as a jump-off place to go back and discuss what we just read. When he says respect of persons, what does that mean? What's he talking about?
Partiality. No partiality.
Favoritism.
Favoritism, partiality. Is there anything proper and right about partiality? Well, let me take you to Romans 12. And
are you saying about preferring the brethren?
Yeah, this verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. What's the difference in that command and this thing we're warned about in James?
Preference to fellowship with your brothers of faith and the other, considering humanity's needs over God's plan.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much is the context. This context is talking about each other, that we're all in the same family. And talk about members of our church family. And the one in James is primarily talking about someone who we don't necessarily know that would come into our assembly, like Eva's friends last Sunday. We don't know them. They came into the assembly, and we treated them the same as everyone else, I think. That was their witness, their testimony, and that's what we should have done. Now, Mason there, he treats everybody the same. He laughs at all of us without partiality. This is talking about someone who's dressed, wearing more money. Obviously a richer. Man with a gold ring and goodly apparel. There's a lot of distinctions of different kinds of goodly apparel nowadays. Verse 4 says, are you not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? In what way would we become judges if we did that?
Prejudice.
We would judge that the person who could wear better clothing was somehow better than the other one? Somehow to be preferred above the other?
Jesus didn't say he came to heal the best dressed. So.
When I first pastored in northern Colorado, I went up there having been taught a lot of wrong things about this subject. I'd been taught error about people of color, Mary and Eva. Now, Mary doesn't have near as much color as Eva, but she's still people of color.
And I don't either.
I have to be a little bit Mary.
Yeah, I want that.
I did a lot of personal Bible study about that issue because I determined that I could not afford to be wrong about something as serious as that. And I determined that all the things that I had been taught were done in a special kind of a study. There's two ways to study your Bible. You can go to your Bible looking to prove something you already believe, or you can go to your Bible looking for God to prove to you what really is the truth. There's a big difference in those two things. And I came away after doing some serious and thorough Bible study. I came away understanding that unless somebody had injected these ideas ahead of time, There's no way I would have discovered anything like that looking to God's word for the truth.
Someone planted a seed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's always somebody planting a seed. It needs to be a good seed. Because good seeds and bad seeds both seem to grow the same. So we are commanded not to treat people differently because of their financial status as here, because of their outward appearance as here. We've also learned that we're not to treat people differently because of their skin color.
This reminds me, my brother and sister, years ago, she had been trying to get my brother to go to church. Finally he did, and she called me and said, well, he went to church with me, but I can't believe he wore a t-shirt and blue jeans. He went, didn't he?
Josh, what do you think?
I think the Bible has probably the biggest separation of people having to come together ever, the Jews and Gentiles. They wore different clothes, they had different standards, they completely didn't like each other, and churches had to be built with both Jews and Gentiles. Huge yeah. prejudice. And I mean, that's probably the biggest, longest standing prejudice there ever was.
Yeah, probably so. A lot more serious and divisive than our so-called racial prejudice. See, I was up in northern Colorado, and I was being mentored by a fella from Houston, Texas. And their church wanted to sponsor me to come down here and begin a new church. And I told him, I said, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not really sure I can fit in down there. Because I had heard that down here in the South, the racial division was severe. And he laughed at me. And he said, well, I got news for you. He said, it's a lot worse up there in the North where you're coming from than it is down here in the South. And I came down here and visited Berean Baptist Church, which is where this church is from. And I found out that there were all kinds of colors of people in Berean Baptist Church. I found out that some of the different colors of people were married to each other and were received the same. And that kind of blew me away a little bit. Oh, wow, boy, was I ever wrong. So I felt very comfortable with my position on those things. I'm still comfortable with my position on those things. We have great fellowship. And color or financial position doesn't seem to really have anything to do with it. Lisa?
I know some of the people in this room weren't here like 3-4 years ago, but we did a vacation Bible school called The Great Race. And I loved that. And it's like it can be at any time in society, and I think we should do it again. But The Great Race was just showing that there's only one race. It's called the human race, right. And everything else is your, where's my word, Harley? I'm losing my words. It's society, and it's tradition, and right. It's genetic culture, and there's like one race. So I get really annoyed when I have to answer something like for a driver's license or something like that, and it's like, check which race you are. And I always write human by other.
Non-Hispanic.
I agree with you.
It just annoys me.
Your business with
them. Yeah. We were watching something on television the other night, and there's a conversation between a grown son and a father about race, and they're black, and he's like, have you ever heard people say, you know, the black guy, like it's a secret or something? And I think people whisper it, like, if you're talking about somebody, they're like, I'm not sure who you're talking about. He's, you know, you can say the tall guy or the short guy or whatever.
Sure.
I don't have a problem saying, well, it's the black lady, or like my daughter-in-law, it's the Asian lady, or whatever. That's going to give you a picture of who you're looking for. It's just visual stuff. It's not anything else. But
I'm looking at verse 3 here. I think we'd be a little more likely to hang out with the poor than we would with somebody wearing gay clothing. But I understand what that's talking about. That's not talking about today's connotation of gay clothing. I think we've settled this issue. I don't think we needed this lesson to settle this issue. I can't think of anybody in our church that hasn't already heard where we stand on this. And I have, in several occasions, have seen people make racial comments that were fairly new in the church or didn't really understand yet. And I have put a stop to it because I'm not going to have that going on here, not under my watch. Jerry.
Well, if we're going to talk about race in Scripture, how can we not talk about Moses and Miriam?
Yeah.
That's early on, and it's very, very clear. The Lord slapped leprosy on it.
Yeah.
Now, I personally think that was more for her running her mouth. I don't think it was as much how she felt. I think she probably could have felt about her sister-in-law however she wanted to, pretty much, as long as she didn't disrespect her or, you know, do anything like that. Instead, she tried to overthrow the government over it.
She was giving Moses a hard time because he married a black woman. And God gave her leprosy over it. And she never said anything about it after that either. All right, now go to verse 11. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, and that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Then our next paragraph application here is about faith and works. Is salvation by faith without work?
Yes.
Yes.
Let me show you what the New Testament says about that. And then we'll read what this says and try to figure out what he's talking about. Verse 28 of chapter 3 in Romans says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. James says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Well, there's a kind of an implied answer there. What is the implied answer? The implied answer is obviously no. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? There's another implied answer. What does it profit? What's the answer? Doesn't profit, and profits nothing. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say. Now you just read, if you read along with me, you just read the key to understanding this. This is about what men say. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou dost believe that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Then it talks about the example of Rahab the harlot. All right, go back to Romans chapter 4 now. Verse 1 says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. But what's it say?
Not before God.
But not before God. What saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Who's that man?
Saved.
That's a saved man. That's you if you've trusted in the blood of Christ. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? That's a pretty good question. The Jews require, they think you have to be a Jew to have this righteousness. But Abraham was not circumcised when he received the righteousness imputed from God, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Can you see the difference in these two applications? Is works, if works are important, why are they important, and in what way are they important? Are they important? Yes, they are. Very important. Faith without them is dead. Is works somehow going to help you be saved?
No.
Is it your faith that saves you, or is it what your faith is in? Your faith is in the blood of Jesus. That's where the power is, in the blood. The faith is the connection. It's the conduit through which you're connected to the power. Works, in what way are works important? Joshua?
They're a witness to others of your faith. They're for us to see.
They're what men see. What are we talking about? Works. Name some. Harley.
First one is the easiest one to identify. Baptism. Because in itself is the first outward appearance showing of the inward change of your faith.
Okay. Baptism to us is what the circumcision was to Abraham. After we received the righteousness of God by faith, that was what came next. It was a sign of the promise. Verse 13 in Romans says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. I hope everybody that has any misunderstandings or lack of understanding about how this works could get online and find last week's message. I tried to preach that as simply as I could, but as thoroughly as necessary. The way faith and works are applied in salvation. Glenn, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if you have faith, the good works will come along with it.
Why?
It, you know, can't really say why, but...
Sure you can. Lisa? Why?
I don't know what where the verse is, but it says that God has prepared good works for us. Everybody has their own good works that God's prepared for them to do.
Yeah. The verse you're looking for is Ephesians 2 and verse number 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. When God imputed his righteousness to you, he did something else that we might look at as being a little bit even bigger. He caused spirit to be raised from the spiritual dead, recreated in righteousness and true holiness. He made you different when he saved you on the inside. And you don't get a choice for this. If you put your trust in the blood of Jesus, God's going to make you different. Not an instant, I start to say not an instant saint, at least outwardly, but sainthood is instant. When we put our trust in Christ's blood, the righteousness of God, which is perfect righteousness, is imputed to us. It's declared to us, and it is recreated in us. It's as real as it can get. And we don't really have to train somebody to do good works. If our big task is to make sure that people know how to be sure they're saved, that's our job. The training people how to do good works will come from the Holy Spirit, from within.
That's right.
If we're really saved. If we're not, it won't make any difference. It won't matter.
It causes us to want to do service.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nobody have to tell you what to do. The Holy Spirit will deal with you.
Yeah, that's right.
Encourage you to do whatever.
How many of you can look around and state what every single person's service in the church is in here?
Well, there's times works is service, and sometimes it's just doing what you're told. In 1 John, we're told that we're to keep his commandments. And that is referring specifically to the New Testament commandments of Jesus. Jesus said in the last part of Matthew 28, we know it as the Great Commission. It's a very specific set of orders. He said here, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The Lord spent a lot of specific time with the church teaching them what to do and how to do it. The New Testament commands of the Lord are pretty specific. And they're easy to find in the Bible. If you go into the basic Bible truths lessons, you'll find that the last lesson requires us to first of all to love the Lord. We're commanded to do that. You say, well, love, that's not a work, that's a feeling. No, that's just because you don't know what love is yet. Love's not only work, it's hard work.
Yeah.
It says then we're supposed to be baptized, like Harley mentioned earlier. After that, what's baptism do? Makes you a part of the church. When you go into the water, you go in a saved sinner. And when you come up out of the water, you come up a saved sinner who's now a member of the church that just baptized you. When you become a member, what do?
Serve.
You serve. You give. you tell people about it. You witness. You start doing what everybody else is doing. Or what? Wait a minute. Let me rephrase that. You start doing what everybody else is supposed to be doing. Sometimes everybody else is not doing what they're supposed to. Go ahead, Harley.
I'm having trouble finding in the scriptures right now, but when you do your good works, not just good works in the church, but when you're doing good works for your boss, whatever, you do those good works so that other men may see you and eventually come to ask you what is the hope that lieth within you, so that you set up that opportunity.
Yeah. The guy I invited to church is calling me. Too late, I missed it. I pretty well knew he would be here because I owe him money.
That's a good way to get it.
Whatever works. There are a lot of different kinds of good works. Helping the guy under the bridge, helping your neighbor here. Sometimes it's a good work to not help your neighbor.
Yeah. I'll remind Justin of that in favors on fence.
Yeah. Well, it's a challenge sometimes.
Amen.
There are a lot of people who ask for help, and sometimes it's wrong to help. Sometimes it is.